Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're in part 164 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this is program number 266. If you need a copy of this, if you'd like to have one, Sharon will tell you at the end of the program just exactly how you can get a copy. Four different ways. And we have some music. We have some testimonials, and we have a great message today that you won't want to miss. But right now, let's go to the throne of the living God to ask the Lord to tell him that, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe in your word. Your word is the Spirit, your Holy Spirit. And for us to be able to have your Holy Spirit, we must be filled with your word. If we're filled with your word, when we're filled with your word, Lord, we have the Spirit of God in us, your Spirit. And we're able to communicate to you, and you are able to communicate to our spirit. If there is sin on our soul, then there is a middle wall of partition between you and us. And in these last days, Father, I so thank you so much for letting me know how important it is for us to be led by your word. It was your word that created everything. It was your spirit that created everything. Your word states that Jesus is your word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And the word was God. And in verse 14 of the book of John, chapter 1, it also states that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, the Word, which is God, came down to earth in a human body and lived before us. And we were able to see you. Human beings by the thousands saw you. Father, in Jesus. And it is today that you want to live within human beings so that they can see the manifestation of you in this world today. And if that's happening, then those who allow you to live in them and work in them and through them are allowing you to manifest yourself in human bodies today as you did during the time that you were here in the body of the human being Jesus Christ. Lord, open the ears, the eyes of people out in radio land. We're living just in the time when the 144,000 Jews are being saved at this very moment. And as soon as the 144,000 Jews are saved, this is the hour that you'll be pouring out your seven first plagues on this earth. One-third of the earth population, which I believe is approximately 6 billion souls today, one-third of them will be destroyed with one plague. Now, you are a good God because you died with the body in the body of Christ. You died and suffered the pains in him and went to hell for us. And, Lord, you stated that you became a curse for us, because cursed is every man that is nailed to a cross or hangs on a tree. And so you, who did committed no sin, you became sin for us. In other words, all the curses of the world that were on us because of the law. The law stated that we all are cursed because of sin on our soul. And we were all on our way to hell. But because you came to the world in a man named Jesus, all the sins of the world and all the curses went upon you. So you became sin, our sin, for us. You became our sacrifice. And all of our sickness, diseases, and infirmities, which are curses, went on you as well. And this is why we are healed. because you paid the price for all the curses that are on us. And you washed our sins away in the precious blood that you shed for us on that cross. And therefore, when we are saved, all of our former sins are drowned in the sea of your forgetfulness, and you remember them no more against us. And now you say, now go and sin no more, take up the cross, deny yourself, and follow me. In other words, follow my example that God was in me, and that in God we are able to keep all the commandments just as I did, is what you say in Jesus. So let the Spirit of God enter into people's minds. Now, the Spirit, you said, is your word is Spirit. The Word of God is Spirit and its life. Now, false prophecy has no Spirit of God or life in it. It's a dirty lie, and that's why they're making all these new Bibles, which they come up with them almost every 3 to 5 months these days, and people need to burn them. It's like Susie said, don't throw them in the garbage because somebody else is liable to get a hold of them. Every one of them weakened the Word of God. Read the King James Version of the Bible and the original Hellenic Greek text and the Hebrew or the Aramaic, and then you'll be just fine because they don't contradict at all. So, Father, we ask that the souls out in Radio Land will be saved and that the church will be strengthened by the message today, and we give you all the praise, the honor, the glory, and the thanks. For we know that when we're praying, it's according to your word. And your word is what created everything and separated the water, the dry land out of the water. So, Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
And now we have H.B. Barnum and a woman named Ruth Davis wrote this song. And the name of it is I Believe in It. And it's written by H.B. Barnum and Ruth Davis. And the soloist on this song is Ruth Davis, and H.B. Barnum arranged and conducted it. Here it is. I believe in it. That means I believe in the Holy Spirit, the power of the living God, the Word of God, the Spirit and its life. Praise the Lord, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Bible states that the Spirit of God is hovering over the water in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. And then God spoke and the Holy Spirit went into action. The Holy Spirit actually today is a combination of the Father and the Son. The Son wants to live in us with His Father. And it happens by the Spirit. When we invite Jesus into us, you can't separate Jesus from the Father and the Spirit, because the Lord Jesus Christ has, after He ascended into the kingdom of heaven, become the life-giving Spirit. Now, let's say the life-giving Spirit, because there's no other Spirit that can give life to us but the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
So the longer we study the Bible, the Word of God, the more it's absolutely evident that it's right, that it's the only way, the only truth, the only life. The longer we live, the Word of God manifests itself and appears to us. Without a doubt, it shows us that to neglect the truths of which the Bible speaks will always destroy our peace and confidence towards heaven. Now, if people lack faith, when the death angel hovers over a person when they're dying, and they haven't filled themselves with the Word of God on a daily basis, they have no confidence. In other words, no faith that they're going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. And that's what happens. If we don't have confidence because we've kept the commandments and we've kept the commandment of reading the Word. The reason that we read the Word so much is because we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. The Lord and the Word of God is our defense. It's a hammer that breaks the hard hearts of human beings to where their hearts are softened enough and they're broken enough to where the Lord Jesus Christ can enter into that heart with this after it's been broken. And by the Holy Spirit. And then the life of God can and will, if you let Him in, began living in you and giving you eternal life, and will cause you to not have to go into the place that everyone dreads, and that is the eternal lake of fire. Satan and his angels will be there, and all those that follow, that don't pay any attention, that don't adhere, that neglect the word of God and consider it as to be nothing. But the word of God is Jesus, and when you consider Jesus to be nothing after he paid the great and mighty price for the salvation of your soul, if you neglect so great a salvation, then there's no possibility for you to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. So I believe in it. I believe in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God, through all the persecution that we've been through by the persecutors in this world, you know, everybody that lives godly in Christ Jesus is suffering persecution. But we go through that persecution with great joy, and we rejoice greatly. And we still realize that these people that are persecuting us need to see the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ living in us. When they see us enduring temptation, when they see us enduring all the different persecutions, the trials, the tribulations, the character assassination, the slander, the viciousness, the hatred that they show towards us, we know that in the natural, before we were saved, no one hated us, really. I mean, not me anyway, because I always made money, and people always like people that have money. But after I was saved, it was the difference between night and day. Everything turned black. It turned these black clouds of persecution and character assassination and trials and tribulations start hitting us. Well, in this world, everybody, even the saved and the unsaved, have trials, and they have tribulations, and they have people that hate them as well. But for them, there's no consolation. There isn't any reward for the things that they go through, but there's great reward for those of us that go through our life with jealousy, trials, tribulations, hatred, and all these different things. Because we have our eyes on Jesus. We have our eyes on the kingdom of heaven. And to me, whatever we have to go through, it's a small price to have to pay in order to get into this marvelous place where no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the beautiful things that the Lord has laid away for those that keep on keeping on. In other words, like I have a song that this man's Fag Springman sang that we're going to play at the end of the program. The song is Ride On King Jesus. And it says, the river of Jordan he did cross. He crossed it and made a way for us to be able to cross it too. Because he, as the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, now enters into us and gives us the power to be able to warn us and tell us if we correspond with the Lord, if we communicate with him, and it's impossible to communicate with him and get the guidance that everyone's needing in these troublesome times. So if we're in the Spirit, well, he will lead, guide, and direct us. And people that, when the destruction comes down in just a small, short period of time now, the seven plagues are going to hit this earth. And people are going to know then for sure that the Word of God is true. You know, if people studied the Word, they would know that it's true, because they could see the things that the Lord said would be happening in these last days are happening right before their eyes. But woe unto the people that don't study the Word of God and don't have Jesus with his Father by the Spirit living in them, because they don't have any guidance. And when the plagues come down, not one hair on the head of those that are saved will be hurt, because he'll tell them where to go. He'll say, for instance, if he's going to send that meteorite down in near Los Angeles, you know, there's going to be a 3-mile-high tidal wave that's going to sweep all the way to halfway, at least halfway across the United States. Well, if you're in the Lord could tell you, get over to the East Coast immediately. And then you go over to the East Coast, and the tide keeps rushing in and covering up everything, clear up to Arkansas, Kentucky, possibly Tennessee and Kentucky. And you're safe in New York. But if it hits New York, the Lord can say, get on the West Coast. But how are you going to know to do that? And how are you going to know that the people that are telling you to do such a thing, that it's really of the Lord, if you don't know the voice of the Lord? So it really behooves you to ask the Lord to enter your heart and pray always, as he said, because we're living in perilous times, for men are lovers of their own self. Can you imagine that this is perilous times? And the perilous times are that men love themselves much more than they love God. You see these gospel programs and people are talking about, now if you do this, you're going to be able to get all these different things for yourselves. So make sure you can get, you can become this kind of a person, that kind of a person. They're actually preaching think and grow rich, all these different things that so that people can get what they want. But God didn't die on the cross and then go to hell and raise from the dead and raise out of hell and ascend into heaven just so that you could have a new car, some new clothes, and lots of money. That isn't what it's all about. The Lord did all that so that you would help appropriate a bride for him. He wants to live in you and witness and testify the Old and New Testament, and to put it together for you. We have a Messiah book that the Lord has allowed me to be part of, and we'll send it to you. It's in over 30 languages, and you'll get a condensed version of the Old Testament regarding the testimonies of the first coming of Jesus. Okay, we have some letters today, or some responses from the newspaper ads that I've been putting in. I've been putting my gospel literature in dozens of newspapers across the nation, and we're getting a lot of responses. Now, a lot of people don't want to watch what they call Christian TV, because some of it is good and some of it is just wears you out. It's just not the Lord at all. But I mean, I would say most of it is that way, and you're seeing everything, a mishmash of everything. But nobody puts gospel tracts or literature in the newspapers. I mean, the real thing. But I've been doing that because the Lord told me that he wanted to win the 144,000 Jews. So I have run these newspaper, these articles that I've written in the New York Daily News and the Miami newspaper, number one there, and Houston Chronicle, and the Chicago Tribune, and all over the United States. And so people are getting saved, and people that had fallen away, but not so far where they've committed sins unto death, but they've fallen away, and now they're coming back to the Lord. These articles have frightened them. They've gotten the fear of the Lord. And now I... That is the whole duty of man, is to fear God and keep his commandments. It doesn't say reverence God. Fear means that you're scared stiff of God to break one of his commandments, because you know if you break one, you've broken them all. And, you know, Susie used to say all the time, when the angel came down and says the different, the wise men became frightened, the angel said, fear not. Is that supposed to mean reverence not? And Susie used to say, everybody used to get a kick out of that. I did. And then there's so many places in the Bible when you do that with fear and reverence, you'll see that that is another one of the demonic things that have been placed in the new Bibles. Okay, where's the first responses from?
From several different cities in the United States.
Okay, this came into our phone room, is that it? Okay, go ahead and read it.
Here are a few responses from Beaumont, Texas.
To our phone room, and One is from Beaumont, Texas, and what else?
To San Diego, California.
From San Diego.
New York City.
From New York City, the New York Daily News.
Alton, Illinois.
Alton, Illinois, from the Chicago Tribune.
Hollywood, Florida.
That's from the Miami newspaper.
There's Hammerville, Ohio.
That's from, what paper do we have in Ohio over there? I can't remember. Okay, go on anyway.
And Cuba, Missouri, etc. It was supernatural. People called thanking you for boldly declaring the gospel truth. People called weeping because they had just said the sinner's prayer. People called saying, what is this? And getting told, this is that the prophets have declared. Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. People called wanting to know everything about this ministry, information, the other literature you've written, Messiah books. After today, I remembered how Susie said, we are the spearhead of the last end-time revival right before Jesus returns. This one lady was blown away that we have the Messiah book in Greek. I told her not only in Greek, but in 30 or more other languages. She was Asian, so I told her we also had it in Chinese, Japanese, Korean, etc. Many times today, one call would come in one after another. Several times calls would overlap, another would be on hold so I could answer another call. They would wait until I could get back to them. They were reading Dry Bones, Susan Alamo's Wedding Dress in the St. Louis Sunday Post, the Houston Chronicle, Miami Herald, Chicago Tribune, the San Diego newspaper. One lady from Chicago said she was just relaxing, drinking a cup of coffee, and started reading the article, and she couldn't stop. She called all her friends and told them to rush out and get the paper and read the message. The list has already been sent to the mailroom of the people's request. I thank Jesus, you, and Susie, that someone as undone as me can be a part of the second coming of our God.
Praise the Lord Jesus Christ, with his Father by the Spirit. Then what?
A man from Houston, Texas, called our 24-hour witnessing line, saying that he got the Houston Chronicle newspaper and read the full-page Dry Bones article by Pastor Alamo, and he got saved. He stated, I got saved, I feel cleansed, by asking Jesus into my heart and washing all my sins away. He said, I'm 47 years old, and I'm dedicating my life to the Lord. I don't think God wants me to be a cab driver all my life, so I'm glad I'm now on the right track. He asked to receive the Messiah book and other literature by Pastor Alamo. And then there is a letter from Malawi, Africa, to Pastor Tony Alamo, dear one of God.
Right. You know, we were getting more mail from Africa and India and the Philippines and many other countries than we were from the United States. And now since I've put these this literature that I've written in the newspapers, we're getting more than Africa, India, and the Philippines. And that was just surprising everybody because we thought everybody in the United States were deader than doornails. But, you know, people don't ordinarily read the newspaper and expect to find anything in there that's gospel, that is so good. And that's what's shaking them up. They didn't expect to read it, and they're never going to turn on Christian TV because it a lot of them just turns them off. And so, but they read this, and they got saved. Hallelujah. Okay.
Yeah.
And now here's a batch of people with our literature in Africa now. Go ahead and read that.
Dear one of God, I, together with all friends in Christ, are really glad to write you this letter. I would like to thank you very much for sending your literature, T-shirts, Bibles, Messiah books, and hundreds of newsletters. I have also received your message tapes. I want to thank you very much. Because of these, you have encouraged our ministry to work harder than before. We distributed all the newsletters at Lucenza Railway Station, where people, more than 78, received Jesus to be their personal Savior. All the people received the newsletters in joy. Praise God. I have been receiving many letters telling me that they have written you asking for literature to distribute in their areas. I gave 5 Bibles to 5 pastors in our association. The pastors have been lacking Bibles. The T-shirts have made us to form Tony Alamo Evangelist Outreach here in Lucenza. The team is encouraged because of the literature and T-shirts. I will send 2 recent photos after developed. The tapes are with me. I am listening to each and every message. Thank you very much. You have said that we are free to translate these scriptures into our local language. This is very good. Lucky enough, God supplied me with a computer. I am translating Dry Bones into Chickawa, but the problem is lacking of a printer and photocopier, as I know the newsletter shall be on high demand to many people who fail to read English. Dry Bones is on high demand. Send us more assorted newsletters, Messiah books, Bibles, tapes, and 11 more t-shirts. Because our team is 20 people, and also your messages on CD, God bless you. Goodwill from Lucenza, Malawi, Africa.
Praise the Lord. All right, thank you very much, Lydia. Now, Sharon, let's start reading from chapter 1 in Genesis. You may think you've heard it all in the first chapter of Genesis, but you haven't. So listen on, okay? And the Lord has given me some good nuggets from out of there today, and I'd like to read it.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
So it says God created the heaven and the earth. But how did he do it? Did he, just take his great big hands down and start forming a mud ball? No, that isn't the way he did it. You just read on. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, and then God spoke. He spoke the written, this is the written word now. And to give you the idea of how powerful the Word of God is, he spoke and said, "Let there be light." Amen?
Amen.
And what happened?
There was light.
Yes, amen. And so, the Lord told me that if I was praying for the gift to be able to write. Right after Susie died, the very day after she died. And I said, "Lord, Susie did all the preaching on television. I did preaching at the church, but she always did more of it." I said, "What am I going to do?" I said, "I just pray, Lord, that you'll raise her back from the dead, because I don't love any other woman, and she's my partner. We're like ham and eggs, even though I don't eat ham and or pork of any kind." And I said, "Lord, if you don't, I have full confidence if the word is holding the earth up, that the Spirit of God could enter into Susie's body and raise her up again." And I never said that he would do it soon. And, things got tangled up with the news media and everything, saying that I was claiming that I would raise Susie from the dead. No, I prayed that he would raise her from the dead so that we could continue this ministry. And I said, "Lord, how am I going to continue this ministry? Give me the ability to be able to write." And he said, "I will." But he said, "If you, you're going to be confined to your room, your house here, and because it takes study in order to write something, my word, it takes deep study, because if you don't study, you're going to say things that are going to be wrong, and you'll be ashamed. And my work that I've given you to do here on earth will be something that is shameful to you, the church, and the whole world." And I says, "Lord, I'll stay in." And he says, "And not only that, when I give you these words, my word is being so polluted and diluted in the world that if you put this word out, you're going to have a lot of persecution, because you're going to show that the other churches are not knowing what you know, and a lot of them are going to get jealous and they're going to come against you. The greatest enemy that we've had down through the years are the false churches, the denominations. They came after us like you can't believe." And so he said, "If you put the literature out, you will not be destroyed. But if you don't, you will be destroyed." And so this is going back almost 25 years. It'll be 25 years on April the 8th, this next April, in 2007. But it's definitely January, February, March, April. In about 4 more months, it'll be 25 years since Susie's been gone. He says, now, if you put it out, you will not be destroyed. And he means put it out all over the world. And because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen?
Amen.
So the weapon that we use, now, there's been, the whole world government has risen up against this church, Susie and myself, and the whole church. And because after she left me to go to heaven, all hell broke loose on me. They took me in the court. They wouldn't even give me enough time to mourn for Susie. I was ripped right out of the funeral home into the Department of Labor case in Memphis. And it was really unbelievable. People were playing on the, because I prayed that Susie would raise from the dead, some of the false brethren in our church, the Bible says, beware of false brothers and false brothers. They're not really brothers at all. They were plants inside the church to make it look like we're some kind of a cult. And the government wants to do that because they want only Catholicism to be the one and only religion and the one and only faith. But we know that the pilgrims had to flee from Europe to get rid of those people because, according to them, they were worse than, they were like termites. They bore themselves into every part of your life. They want to control you. They want to control your children. And that's what they've done already in the United States. This government is no longer the United States of America government because the USA has now joined itself to the one world government. It was at first NATO, and now it's the one world government. And they want every nation to be part of it, or they will bomb the nation. Now, if the nation's leader will not agree to come into the United Nations, there'll be orders from the Satan seat, which the Bible says is in Rome, we have to make them look like devils because they don't want democracy. In other words, dictatorship. What they're calling dictatorship today is democracy. And they destroy the world, the leader of that country, so that they're no longer sovereign. They have their own autonomy, in other words, their own way of life. They don't want anybody to do that. They want everybody to believe in Catholicism. And they have, the Bible says that that organization is the mother of every abomination on earth. And what they do if they form themselves a government, because that organization is political, and they don't even deny it. You ought to see the big, thick book of Roman canon law. And if you read it, you'll see that all the laws in America here are formed, created, and put together for every walk of our life. And we've allowed them to do that. It's just like Adam and Eve allowed Satan to get into the Garden of Eden when the Lord says, protect the garden, guard the garden, don't let anything in here. Don't let anybody persuade you to believe any other word than what I've told you. In the day that you listen to any other voice than mine, that's the day you're going to die. Now, some people say that I'm a brainwasher. Well, I would that your brain gets washed. Mine got washed by the Lord, by the Word of God, and cleansed, and I am so thankful for that. Because what they're trying to do is, and what they're doing a good job of it, is dirtying and damaging your mind and your heart and soul. But anyway, here's the Word of God that came down. And if you want to believe that you're a monkey or an ape or something like that, that's up to you. But I believe, God, that I'm a human being because I'm able to communicate. I'm able to communicate with God. I've got a soul. I have a human spirit in me, and that human spirit now has the spirit of the living God in me, just like it did Jesus. Jesus was born with it and conceived by the Holy Spirit, But when the fullness of time came in my life, then the Lord came and got me, and I invited him into my heart, and I was so happy to know that there's something other than this world in the future. I mean, it's, I'm now linked with heaven by the Holy Spirit. I'm sitting with Christ in the heavenly places, in his throne, with him. And so, and the Lord has commissioned me and many others to attempt to compel or to try to convince the people of this world to give up, to stop walking in dry places. Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit, the Lord says that he separated the dry land from the waters, amen? Let's read on a little bit more so we can explain this.
And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day.
So when you see the day and night, you know that God called it day and night. This is where the English language came from, is God. And then what?
And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters.
That means the separation between the waters in heaven and the water here on earth. The Holy Spirit and the water we drink and swim in. Then what?
And let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament.
So the Lord always, he describes the Holy Spirit as the living water. So he says that he, when he enters into us, he's like a fountain inside of us, that when the word is read, it's stored up inside of that fountain. And whenever we need to witness to somebody, that the Spirit, the water, the which is the Spirit of God, rises up in us and tells us the things to say to people, to give them, which gives them an opportunity to have the Spirit of God poured upon them. Because God says that the Spirit of God would be poured out on all flesh in these last days, and that we would be able to prophesy. Young men would see visions, and old men would dream dreams, supernatural dreams, dreams from the Lord, visions from the Lord. And also, Satan is always trying to be an imitator of the things of God, and he'll always try to give you visions that are fake. Like if he gives you a vision, Satan, of Mary, you know that's not of the Lord, because the Lord, already too many people are worshiping Mary, and she's not the one that died for your sins and shed her blood for you. If she did, it wouldn't do you any good anyway, because only Jesus, the blood of Jesus, can take away sin. And it was Jesus that hung on the cross and took all the torture while she stood by and looked at him, okay? And it pierced her soul, but there's no salvation in her whatsoever. And there is only salvation in him. And then we have, let's continue on.
And it was so.
And it was so. Then what?
And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place.
Okay, so the water, which is symbolic, you know, we can drink the water here and swim in it and everything, but the Lord uses the earth as symbolic of the kingdom of heaven and also the pit of hell, because dry land... Well, before we're saved, we don't have this, the water of heaven in us. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's a separation between where the Lord is separating with his word. He said, let there be a separation. Between what? Let the waters be divided, right? From the land?
Yes.
Read it again.
Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place.
So he's not saying the waters above the heaven. Okay, but this is symbolic of the waters above, up in the heavens, above heaven, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that when the Lord casts the devil out of us, when we're unsaved by his word, by the Spirit, The Spirit, remember the Word of God is Spirit and it's life. It states that in what, in the book of John, chapter what, 5?
6.
Chapter 6, verse what?
63.
Okay, let's read that.
It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The
Word. Okay, it is the Spirit that quickens you, the Holy Spirit, Christ that is the life-giving Spirit that quickens you, that is the life-giving Spirit. When He enters you, it quickens you unto immortality, because all you have is temporal life in you. Your spirit is just temporal. But you need, if you want to live everlasting life in the kingdom of heaven, we need to have our spirit fused. The Spirit of God must be fused to our spirit. He must move into us and give us His life, which is immortal, eternal, everlasting. Okay, so go ahead, read that again.
It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing.
So there's, it doesn't profit anything. And either does this world profit anything. The dry land doesn't profit anything. And even the ocean down here doesn't profit anything so far as immortality is concerned. So then what does it say?
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
So the word that when God said, let there be light, is the powerful thing that gives us everlasting life. The word that caused everything to happen, that separated the earth from the water, is the word did that. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord told me that if I get these words from God, that He'll separate the people on earth from the people that are in the spiritual kingdom. And so this is why so many millions of souls are being saved in this ministry, is because I believe in it. I believe in the Spirit, which is the Word, which is Jesus. The Word of God, the Bible says, is Jesus, and it separates the people that are earthy from the people that are spiritual. Amen?
Amen.
And so there's another scripture that says, when the devil is cast out of your body, what he's doing is walking in dry places. That means he's walking on the earth. The Bible says, love not this world. Amen?
Amen.
Don't love this earth here because the way it is, this world. Because it's dry places. Amen?
Amen.
So when the devil is cast out of you, he's out in the world someplace looking for someone to live in. Dry places is the earth. Amen?
Amen.
It isn't saying that he's walking on the water or anything, but it says this devil that's cast out of you when you get saved, or the legion of devils, or however many it is in you that is cast out of you, they're walking in dry places. Read it.
When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he
walketh. When it goes out of you, then what?
He walketh through dry places.
He walketh through the world. The world. Amen?
Amen.
Because, and he doesn't like it out there because he knows the spirits, evil spirits that are in you know about heaven because they were there at one time. The angel of the Lord cast all those demons out of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
He cast them out. And they remember heaven. And so they want to be in a person, when the Lord casts them out, they see that this body, the human body that they once lived in, is all swept and clean and everything. And so they think that by entering you in with seven of their friends, seven other demons more wicked than them, that they're going to be able to go to heaven because the devil's not bright. So he's walking in dry places and he wants to get back in you. When he sees that you're not concentrating on the Lord, you're not attending to the things of the Lord, and he says, what is this? It's like a wide open place for me to enter again because the person that I was cast out of has fallen back into the world. Now they become homosexuals and now they believe that they can go out and commit adultery and fornication and they can be lesbians and they can get back on drugs and all these things. And so here comes Satan back into them, this demon, with seven other more and worse than the ones that were cast out of them, because they don't like the world. They know what it was like in heaven, and they think they can hitchhike back into heaven by entering in your body again after you've fallen away from the Lord. Go ahead, finish the reading of it.
He walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith...
You can't find any rest in the world, because there's nothing but contamination in the world. There's nothing but they're going to, you know, the world is going, you know, he knows that it's going to be burned up. And he's one of the elements that's going to burn forever. And the seven demons that he brings into you is going to burn forever. Is that what you want? Then what?
Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out.
See, I'm going to come back into that body that I've been cast out of, because I don't like walking out here in the world. The Lord says, love not the world, because all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Amen?
Amen.
And for all these things, people are going to go to hell. And so he said, I don't want to go to hell. Come on, friends, maybe if I'm merciful to you, you other demons, God will have mercy on me. But having mercy on the devil is not it's something that the Lord wants you to have. You say, the world wants you to join up with all the demons and all the false religions and everything so that they say we'll have peace on earth. They're liars, okay? There's no peace being part of the world. And how can the Spirit of God be friends with the spirit of Satan? You can't. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished.
Yeah, because it was saved. And said, so, wow, I'm familiar with this body. Come on, friends, come with me. Seven more demons worse than the ones that we cast out. Then what?
Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first.
Right, because he can't be saved anymore. Okay? And so, I'm so sorry. I've run out of time, but I just love to tell you more about this. And if you want to be born again of the Spirit, you can. And get that demon cast out of you, because let him walk out in the world. But when you let him walk in the world, but when you have that demon cast out of you, the Bible says, no, you now you're a new person, a new creature. You're supposed to be walking in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And communicating with the Lord. The things that you hated, which is the gospel, you now love. And the things that you once loved, which was the world, you can see that the Spirit of God is life and life eternal. And so, you know, you love that now than the one you once hated, because now you know it's true. Now you know there's something better than this world. And now you're happy, and don't lose it. Now you can have that experience right now by saying this prayer. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And say to the Lord, Lord, I'm calling on you. And now, Lord, enter into me with the Father by the Spirit and wash all my filthy sins away in the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Raise your hands up in praise and thank the Lord. And here's Sharon to tell you four different ways that you can receive a copy of this program, which is Program 266.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, now here's one of my favorite songs and one of my favorite singers. You know, now that Jesus is in you, let him live out his life in you. Let him ride on in you. Ride on, King Jesus, by Fig Springman.
Ride on, King Jesus, no matter.
Pastor Tony Alamo. Tune in tomorrow for another adventure in the Lord, the Word of God that created everything, including you, and also the Spirit of God that now lives in you if you've accepted Him.